You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the equine network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Good Friday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Friday, November 14th, episode 3819, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse people.
It's Friday, and another weekend of riding is a few short hours away. Jamie and Glenn are here to help you make it through the day. With some fun guests and some really bad ads. Enjoy the show.
That's right. It is a Friday, and we're so glad that you're here. You made it through another week. It's almost the weekend. I know it's a little frigid in some places, but you got it. You can go out and ride anyway. Justin Long, husband of Dr. Erica Latcher from Spring Hill Equine and host of Straight from the Horse Doctor's Mouth, joins us to talk about his books, Adventures of the Horse Doctor's Husband. He's a fun guest and a fellow horse husband. I'm excited to have him on today. And we're going to look at some bizarre world records that were made in 2025. And we have some really bad ads for you. Auditor Mary's going to join us in the post show and talk about an alternative to No Stirrup November that she came up with that I really liked. I thought we'd have her on to talk about that. But first, Jamie, the Keeneland November breeding stock sale has concluded, and that is the one, if you remember right, that Delia from Kentucky Performance Products was going to last Friday.
Yes. Yeah. Do we know if she bought anything yet?
I wrote to her, and I haven't heard. So either she's being cagey, or I'm not sure. Sure. Yeah. So I'll let you know if I hear
anything.
She's
ghosting you.
Yeah, exactly. Or she just doesn't want to say. But, and she may want to not want to say because the prices were incredible. The Keeneland November breeding stock sale concluded on the 11th with almost 2,000 horses changing hands for a total of $245 million.
Oh, my God.
That's a 25% increase from last year. The eight-day sale was the highest grossing November sale since 2007. Almost 20 years. Records were set with the average price seeing a 37% increase. So the average price of the horses this year was $124,000. You can't get
a cheap
racehorse anymore.
We're in the wrong business again.
Yep. 18 horses sold for $1 million or more, the most since 2017, and the highest price horse at this sale was $3.7 million on the first day of the sale, a horse by the name of Lush Lips. You heard that right.
Lush Lips.
The best name that I saw, though, was a horse that sold for $900,000, was hip number 4184, and the horse's name was, are you ready, World Record. Isn't that
perfect?
Wasn't that ever? I'm just shocked that was never used before. When I saw it in the article, it said world record for 900,000. I thought 900,000 is not a world record. It took me a minute to put two and two together. You know how we say naming your horse is its destiny? It's going to become what you name it.
Yes.
This is perfect.
Okay, I'm looking. He's by Gunrunner, a 2021 colt. There are other world record horse names.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So one in New Zealand, one in Ireland, one in, I don't even know what country that is, one in Japan, and then one in 2007 from America. So they do let you recycle the names after a certain amount of years have passed, because obviously you're not going to get
it. If the horse wasn't a superstar, right? If it's a superstar, they retire it? Is that how it works?
I don't know if there's enough.
You could never have another secretariat, I assume.
Yeah, I don't think you can have another secretariat. I don't know if there. You know what? That's a great question. We have a listener who works for Equibase, and I would be really interested to find out a little bit more. So I'll see what I can find out.
Speaking of naming, the Jockey Club just announced that they're putting out a new website that's going to tie in the world's racing names, and an owner will be able to go in and just plug in a name they're thinking about, and it'll give you whether anybody's ever used those names around the world. Apparently, that hasn't been available as of yet. So
no, because when you name a racehorse, they give you a slot for three, at least the last time I was involved in it, which was a long time ago, but not much changes in the thoroughbred racing. So you would have to submit three names. and they would send it back and they would tell you which one, like in snail mail, send it back and then go back and you get another letter in the mail, which is how, do you remember my horse Drax
that I
got from Horse and Hound? His name on his papers was Nuisance. And he's like the sweetest thing ever. And I asked Nelda, because it was her racehorse, I said, why on earth did you name him Nuisance? And she said that she kept submitting names and they kept getting denied. And she would submit more names and get denied back and forth and back and forth. Finally, she's like, this is such a nuisance. And that stuck.
Well, now it's apparently going to become much easier. I didn't realize it was such a hassle. So this website will be welcomed by owners.
No kidding. Yeah, that'll be nice.
And, you know, I don't think we ever, nobody cared 30 years ago whether it was a racehorse in China named the same name. But now with horses traveling so much, it is a problem, right?
Yeah,
so,
you don't have to bring them over on ships anymore. Yeah,
exactly. All right. Daily Winnie time. I don't have any auditor birthdays today, so I wanted to say a happy birthday to a brand new auditor, welcome to a brand new auditor, Katrina. She is just signed up to become an auditor. Thank you, Katrina. We really appreciate your support. And increasing her pledge was Elizabeth. Thank you for that, Elizabeth. We really appreciate, and it was quite a substantial increase, so thank you, Elizabeth. We do really appreciate it.
That's awesome. Thanks. I got a big weekend coming up, and really, not really. There's only one thing that's happening, but I'm already nervous. So Mazuma, who is the horse that came here for the summer, he was a racehorse that I rehabbed through some like stifle weakness and everything, and I did a ton of hill work with him, and I got this horse like in tip-top shape, and then he went back to the track. Well, he races on Saturday night, so I am going to go watch him race. I'm so excited. I just pulsed him this week. He looks great, and this is the son of American Pharaoh that my friends at Family Stone Racing own. So I'm really excited to go watch him race. I feel like I'm part of his career. So I hope he doesn't embarrass me. No, I hope he is very successful. So
and
that's
you have
Saturday
all those
night.
Winnings from the last time you were there. So there's going to be heavy betting this weekend.
Oh, Mama's going to the booth. Oh, God. Now, I will also, speaking of racing, wanted to tell you this really cool story. Did you watch the Netflix documentary Race for the Crown?
I don't think so.
It's a horse racing documentary. It's really good. It's kind of about the different characters in racing.
Oh, yes. That came out a couple of years ago. Yes.
Yeah.
We did watch it.
And it came
yes.
out like in April, March or April yes. of this year.
Of this
yeah.
year. Okay,
so
we did watch it. Yep.
There was a guy named John Stewart, and John Stewart owns Resolute Racing, and he's in Kentucky.
Yes.
And
there
he's
were
a kind
very
of a,
interesting characters in that particular.
Yeah, he's a huge part of it. Well, he did something right by having a daughter named Sarah, and whatever he did with Sarah is working because Sarah found out about some yearlings that were dropped at a feedlot, like on their way to Mexico. She learned about three thoroughbred yearlings that were dropped at a feedlot, and she called her dad and she's like, we have to buy them, but he didn't answer the phone. So she's like, I'm just going to buy them anyway. So she went down to Louisiana or purchased these
Are
horses.
Are you two related, by the way?
I know, right? I love her. So she bought these three horses and had them sent up to the farm. And her comment was, she was talking to her friend, Chelsea, and she's like, Chelsea, I'm just going to go for it. We can hide them on the farm and ask for forgiveness later.
She is your sister.
I know. I love her. So apparently once John Stewart found out about it, he actually didn't care. Like he was like, cool. Like the forgiveness wasn't needed. The trio ended up spending 2 days in the feedlot before they were transported up to Resolute Racing. Turns out they had gone through a sale in Louisiana and all sold for the minimum of $1,000 and then put in the feedlot. Cause I guess people think they'll get more for them that way. I don't know. There's a whole lot of people going to hell in this story, but there's a whole lot of people going to heaven. So at any rate, they start looking at these horses as they start to grow up. And they're like, two of those, they're special. Like they're going to live here. But the third one had some talent. They're like, wow, that's cool. And so his name became Awesome. I don't know if he was named this before or after, but Awesome Hawaiian. So Awesome Hawaiian goes to Windstar Farm, passes all the vet checks, and they decide to put him into training with a guy named Will Walden.
To race again?
To race.
Yeah, okay.
To race one of these babies out of the feedlot. And so John Stewart says, we were willing to take the gamble and the risk. We talked to Will, made sure he was up to the task, and we just decided to take a moment to bring this issue front and center to the industry. Well, how cool is that? So they start working Awesome Hawaiian. And he ran his first race yesterday and he freaking won.
Oh, like, wow.
Like huge won. So I'm really, that's just so cool. Now, the thing is, he's running at
Sarah's
smaller
now
tracks.
Forgiven.
I know, right? And so they put him in they didn't think that he would get claimed, but about the only race he was going to really, they felt successful for a first race was a $30,000 claiming price, and he got claimed.
Oh no.
And so John Stewart has said, I'm so proud of Sarah. It brings to light all the work that everybody on our team does on rescue. It's a positive story, and we are going to find out who claimed him and go buy him back. I love it.
You gotta see if you get Sarah on.
You know what? I'm going to try. Now, the funny thing is we are kind of co-parents because I own a share of a horse named Puka 24. And that is the year of 2024. Puka, the super mare, had a foal, and John Stewart purchased Puka, bred this mare, had the foal, and then offered up partnerships with my racehorse. So John and I own the same horse.
Does he own a little bigger share, you think?
I think he owns a little bigger share, but like, it's not about that.
It's not about that.
It's about that we're co-parents. And so I feel like basically John and I are co-parents. And so his daughter, Sarah, is kind of like my sister. So I will see if I can find her.
Yeah, see, you have some connections there. See if you can track her down. That would be fun to have on the show. That would be fun.
Yeah, such a cool story. So hopefully they're going to find Awesome Hawaiian back. And they know who claimed him, a guy named Joe Sharp and owner Larry Romero. So if anybody of you know these people, give them Awesome Hawaiian back. Make him pay, actually. Make him pay. Like, sell him for like $1 billion. John Stewart can afford it.
All right, that was a great story. That's a Good Friday story right there. Well done.
I know, right? Yep. I thought it was cool.
It's a Good Friday story. All right. You know how I'm obsessed with bizarre world records. Well,
oh, no.
I thought we'd take a look at the bizarre world records that were set in 2025. Although I have noticed that the focus group really likes playing along at home when we do our games. Like the title game we did the other day, they seem to enjoy that. So I thought we'd make this a game. And what I've done is I haven't included any of the like race 400 meter world. These are the bizarre ones, okay? These are not the not normal ones. These are the ones you go, why is that a world record? So we're going to ask, I'm going to say the world record. You have to guess what the answer, what the distance or the height or whatever was, okay?
And these are this year.
This year, yep. As we're all this year.
People are still making records.
Huh? Yep.
Still going for it. Yep. Okay.
And Guinness is still out there. All right. So the first one is the tallest domino structure.
Somebody's
a thing made out of dominoes. How tall would you guess?
Were they able to glue it as they went?
No,
you know what?
No.
I'm going to just have more questions. No. I'm going to go 17 feet, Glenn.
Let me clarify, because you always do this to me. I have no other information other than the title. Okay. You always tell me that. I'm telling you that.
So if I said to you, say this record, and I say, why?
I have
You're
no
not
idea.
You're going to know the answer.
I have no idea because I wasn't interested enough to read the article. So
okay, all right. Cool. 17 feet.
33 feet of dominoes. That's a tall domino. How many dominoes do you need to get to 33 feet?
I mean, one tiny little wisp of wind. Don't open the door!
33 feet. And who wants that many dominoes in their house? All you do is step on them and it really hurts and it makes you mad. So are you past the dominoes age where you're stepping on dominoes? Or are you?
No, Legos, Glenn. That's what we had.
Legos. Okay. Fastest time to mentally add 100 four-digit numbers.
Well, that's just really stupid.
And I do have an uncle that could do this. He was incredible. He could look at a whole list of numbers on a page and instantly tell you what the answer was for adding them up.
That was back before we knew about people being on the spectrum.
Yes, it could be true, actually.
I mean, if it was me doing it, it would take about 4 days.
Yeah, exactly.
So did they beat that?
30 seconds.
Okay.
To add 100 four-digit numbers, 30 seconds, which is just incredible. I couldn't add one-digit number, 100 of them, in 30 seconds. Fastest marathon in a suit run by a male.
This is really stupid. I don't know what a normal marathon time is, but
the really good marathons are done in like 2 hours.
Okay, we're going to go 3 hours.
Close. 2 hours and 39 minutes.
I'm so good.
Now, I have a bunch of these. Fastest marathon run in foam clogs.
I'm going to go 3.5 hours.
2 hours and 48 minutes. How do you run any marathon in clogs? I mean, I don't get how you could do that one in 10 hours. I don't understand that one.
Why?
And this is an actual record. The fastest marathon in a school uniform.
I mean... how old is the person? 3 hours.
Close. 2 hours and 44 minutes. My guess is
that was faster than the clogs and the suit.
Yes. Yes. How about the tallest dog living? And it's a male.
Do I guess the height or the breed?
Both. You can guess both.
I think it's an Irish wolfhound and it's 6.5 feet tall.
No, you're a little over.
Well, standing up. Oh, is this like withers?
Yeah, to withers. Yep.
Okay, 4 feet.
Not quite. 3 feet, 3 inches is a Great Dane. And I'm actually surprised that's not taller. Because I swear we saw one last week at the festival we went to that was bigger than that.
Well, they need to apply.
Yeah. You're going to love this one. The longest tongue on a female.
The longest tongue?
I don't know where they measure from and to. You know, I don't know what that
means. Yeah, how far back are you going? Yeah, you're going straight out from the teeth.
I think it's out from the teeth.
I'm going to go 2.5 inches.
3.8 inches.
Okay.
Which, if it's out from the teeth, is one long tongue.
So sexy.
The deepest, she probably is on OnlyFans, by the way. You'll probably find her over there. Deepest underwater model photo shoot. Now, there's a random one for you. So they were doing a model photo shoot underwater. How deep were they?
What is one thing I'm never going to be involved in?
Either as the photographer or the model.
Or underwater. Yeah, exactly. I mean, obviously they went 20,000 leagues under the sea.
168 feet, which means she would have had to have scuba tank on. How sexy is that anyway? I'm just, I don't know. The largest toothbrush ever built. I'm thinking they're going to see this on the side of the highway on Route 66 at some point. That's exactly it.
It's 25 feet.
Only 6 feet 7 inches. So I think there's some room. That's one that I think we could beat.
Oh my gosh. Does it have to be usable? Because
it says an electric, it's actually an electric toothbrush, an electric replica.
I thought you said you didn't have any more information.
That's all I have. That's
okay.
The oldest gaming streamer. So like on Twitch. You know, streamer, does it all the time.
17.
That's better than my answer. 89 years, and he lives in China. An 89-year-old streamer lives in China. By the way, remember we've had a couple records I've talked about of people hiking the Appalachian Trail this year? There's a guy on the trail right now. He won the record for the oldest hike the whole entire app, 2,200 miles, at the age of 83. Then somebody beat him at the age that was 84. So he's back at the age of 90. He's hiking it right now.
And dear God.
The guy that's 84 is supporting him. The guy that won it last is trying to help him out. He's just helping him out. So it's 90. He looks great. He's hiking the trail. And that's not easy. Largest collection of wacky vehicles in a museum. These are very.
Do I guess where it is or how many cars?
It is in Europe. It's the only thing I know.
Okay. I'm going to go with got at least 18 wacky vehicles.
57 wacky vehicles are at this museum.
Cool.
Has to be related to Jay Leno somehow, doesn't it? I mean, the most ice this is so stupid. The most ice hockey jerseys worn at one time.
All I can think of is Joey from Friends when he comes in wearing all of Chandler's clothes.
Yes.
Why would you? Okay, we're going to go 14.
40.
Oh, that guy's not getting out of there soon.
How about the largest mango? Do you like mangoes?
Everybody likes mangoes. I mean, how do you not?
The largest mango in the world. How many pounds?
I mean, how many pounds? 4 pounds.
9 pounds. That's
a big mango.
Mango.
Yeah. See, again, another reason to watch Ted Lasso because it reminds me of the avocado. You'll know when you get there.
Okay. Fastest time. This one pisses me off, by the way. The fastest time to solve a 1,000-piece puzzle.
Okay, well, if I put a 1,000-piece puzzle on my table, it would take at least 3 weeks. So something faster than that.
You know, I build puzzles. I probably built 15 or 16 this year. I had a 1,000-piece puzzle that I started 2 months ago, and a week ago, I packed it up. I never finished it because it would piss. Oh. It just made me so mad I couldn't finish it. It was just, I can't finish this
one. What was it?
It was just spoons. It was spoons with herbs in them. But there was so much of the same color that I couldn't do it. And I said to Jennifer, I said, look, I feel defeated, but I'm doing this for fun, and it's just making me mad. So,
marching towards death, Glenn.
I said, this $14 is going in the garbage. A 1,000-piece puzzle. This was by a team that I don't know how many people were on the team, but it was 1 hour and 24 minutes to build.
Wow.
I am working on one now for a week, and I think I've got the edges done. The most magic, last one, most magic tricks performed in 1 minute. And this is under 16-year-olds. Kids.
I don't know. I mean, how real can it really be if it's just like they're trying to do it super fast? So I'm going to go with 6.
28.
Are you pulling like handkerchiefs out of your sleeve?
Yeah, I know. And then, like, I know. It's, and how many card tricks can you do in a minute? I don't know.
I know, right? Well, good for them. They're in the book.
Some really bizarre ones. All right. Talk to us about Kentucky Performance Products, and then we're going to Justin Long.
Is your horse suffering from respiratory problems like intermittent coughing, nasal discharge, seasonal allergies, poor performance, or difficulty breathing during exercise? Kentucky Performance Products has a new supplement, Airwise, that can help. Formulated using a synergistic blend of high-quality, potent antioxidants and micronutrients, Airwise is a research-proven to give and help horses maintain healthy respiratory function. It has been shown to promote normal respiratory rates, enhance lung function, support a healthy inflammatory response in airways, and maintain immune health. To see if Airwise, available through veterinarians, is right for your horse, speak with your vet. Visit kppusa.com. That's kppusa.com. And you can follow them on Facebook. They're always putting some good information out. Also, they send out emails, which are really good. kppusa.com.
Well, I'm very excited today, Jamie, to have a fellow horse husband on. And, you know, he's also a horse doctor's husband. So he has an extra title behind his name. That's an HDH, by the way. You're an HDH, Justin.
I'm an HDH. Finally, I got some letters.
Yeah, your wife's had all the letters all these years. Now you can have some.
It is my turn.
You know, Justin, you're going to know him because his wife is Dr. Erica Latcher, who we've had on the show 100 times over the years doing our health segment. She's a terrific guest. And they both have a very popular podcast called Straight from the Horse's Mouth. And we're glad to have you back, Justin.
Thank you. It is great to be here. And just for clarification, it's straight from the horse doctor's mouth, because the other one will take you to something that you don't want to be in the middle of.
What did I say?
You said straight from the horse's mouth. Oh.
Sorry about that.
That is the cliche that we're playing off of. So,
well, I want to congratulate you because the other day I looked up on Gemini. I asked Gemini for the top 10 horse podcasts, and you were number 3.
Number 3.
Yeah.
Oh, man, who's in front of us? I got to know.
Well, we're number 1, so.
That's reasonable. All right.
And to be whatever, it's fine.
Stacy Westfall is number 2, so that's hard.
Yeah, she's got a huge platform. Yeah. She's amazing.
It's kind of hard to beat her, too. But, I mean, number 3.
But that's good company to be in.
Yeah.
I'll be number 3 to that crowd.
You should be proud. That's great. So, Justin, we have you on for a couple of reasons. One is you're a horse husband. I want to talk to you about that. Number two is you've written a number of books that are very entertaining and would be fun Christmas gifts. And we're highlighting Christmas gifts right now through the holidays. So, and I just looked today, Jamie, we are 2 weeks away from our holiday week, which means I need to get to work. I panicked.
So stressful.
Panicked when I saw that. So, Justin, when did you meet your wife, Erica?
I met her in 2014. We were both 38 years old at the time. And oddly enough, we were both trying to prove a point to our best friends that we were destined to be alone forever, that there is nobody in the world for either one of us. And I had done a lot of online dating efforts at that point, but I set up a profile on eHarmony.com, which I don't think exists anymore, but that was my last ditch effort to find somebody slash prove a point that there's no one for me. And there she was. And the same thing happened for her at the same time.
Well, you know, I can almost understand her because vets have no time to date.
Right.
They don't have time for that stuff. Well, that's funny. You're the first one that we've talked to that have met on eHarmony.
Well, I think that she had exhausted what was available to her around her in her very limited time, because trying to run a business and be a doctor and manage her own farm, and she was, you know, raising horses and training horses, like that's 40 hours a day right there. And that doesn't leave much for anything else. So I think the online thing that she could do in the vet truck between appointments and between client calls, something in 2 minutes a day, was the only resource she really had. But lucky for me.
Were you a horse guy? Did you have anything to do with horses before?
Well, my very first phone call with her, I was bragging about my horse knowledge, because when I was in high school, back in the early 90s, I lived on a cattle ranch out in Wyoming. And so I knew about working horses on the ranch and rodeo, which I proudly explained to her, gave me pretty much full coverage horse knowledge. I know about all the horse things.
Yeah. And,
within 10 minutes, I realized that I probably shot myself in both feet with that one. And because she was asking, so do you know
you're
about...
lucky you got a second date.
Right? She's like, do you know about hunter jumpers? I was like, what's that? She's like, have you heard of dressage? No. Do you know about eventing? Like, what is an, like, what kind of an event? Like, you and know, she just went through the gambit, and I realized, right? I knew nothing. I mean, I'd heard of horse racing, but that was sort of didn't really exist in real life for me. So, yeah, by the end of that conversation, I knew that I knew 0.001% about horses, and that I had to be very cautious about trying to impress her with any sort of horse knowledge.
Did you think you had blown it at that point?
Oh, I did. I really did. I was like, man, because, you know, I'm an intellectual kind of guy. I'm a nerd, and I don't have big muscles. So the only other thing I feel like I've got to impress her with is my brain. And so you can't do that with somebody that's an expert in their field. You cannot do it.
Well, I got to tell you, you won. I mean, in the end, you won. What were you doing for a living at that point?
I was a purchaser for an equipment manufacturing company up in Georgia. And fortunately, I was only 3 hours away from her. But
that's yeah, so that sexy.
Right. Well, for her, the fact that I have the ability to manage large amounts of money and, you know, ordering product and all that kind of stuff, like in her brain, that made sense. She's like, I can use that skill. And then I was like, well, before that, I was an over-the-road truck driver for a year, but that was a horrible job for me.
She's like,
so you can
CDL.
Back a trailer? Right? Yeah, she's like, right? Oh, you are scoring points. So I was like, oh, here we go. The resume is where I impress her. It's not with my horse knowledge. It's with my day-to-day skills.
And then she was thinking in the back of her mind, I can get him to work here for free. This is perfect.
Exactly. I did not think that was going to be the plan, but she thought that was going to be the plan all along.
I know how they
just
think.
Had a really intense job interview process.
So now you end up, when did you start working for the clinic though? How far into the dating process were you?
Well, it took 9 months for us to decide that this was, well, it took 9 minutes for me to decide. It took 9 months for her to decide that this was going to be the future. So, like, and oddly enough, this is probably complete coincidence, but when I started coming down to see here, I started burning a vacation day every Friday. So I started working 4-day work weeks and spending my Fridays coming down to Florida to spend the weekend with her. And I ran out of vacation time at the same time we decided I should just move down here. So, but so at 9 months of dating, I moved in and I was still, I spent months trying to find a job outside of the vet clinic because I really, you know, all you ever hear is don't ever work with your spouse. It's a terrible plan. And I believed that. And so I tried to avoid it, but ultimately it was the place for me to be. And so after about a year of dating, I started trying to learn how the practice operates. And I took over the bookkeeping and paying bills. And then slowly other things came onto my plate. And now I'm juggling 3,000 things all day, every day. And I have no idea how I got here.
You know, it's funny. The other day, Wednesday, when we did the show, we talked about husband and wives working together. And my wife and I worked together for 40 years. How's it going for you?
Oh, fantastic.
Is there ever any disagreement on anything?
Oh, of course. Of course. But I think we both, we don't work in the same space all day, every day. So that's super helpful. But I think the fact that we are both super passionate about what we do and super committed to our business and our lifestyle means all of our goals align. And even though we might have different strategies on how we want to get there, ultimately we're on the same team and we always, always keep that in the front of our minds.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, we established early on that the doctor should do doctor things and the husband should do husband things. So she doesn't interfere and step on my toes and the business running side of things, just like I don't go out and tell her how to work on a horse, right? So we established some lanes pretty early on, and I think that's been very important.
Yeah, I think so too. I think you have to have that kind of the who does what thing. And then you went to do a podcast together. So there's a whole nother thing. But you wrote now 3 books, Adventures of a Horse Doctor's Husband. We had you on like 6 years ago when the first one came out. Now you have 3 of them. How did you approach that topic and say, I'm going to write some books about you?
Well, it started with the podcast, and the podcast was me realizing I'm married to a superstar who is a pillar in the horse community around here, and I know jack squat about horses. So I was like, the fastest way for me to absorb some knowledge here is to do a podcast where I can just interview about all these things, and everyone else can benefit from that as well. So like I can play the role of the dumb guy that doesn't know anything when in reality, I am the dumb guy that doesn't know anything.
By the way, that's my role here too. So I'm with
it's
you.
It's a great role to play. Low expectations.
Exactly.
But one of my early responsibilities for the vet clinic was taking the deposits to the bank every week. And we're in a small town and it's the same ladies in the bank every week. And I got to know them and they've started, you know, really digging into the exciting lifestyle that I was discovering because it was all new to me and going on emergencies in the middle of the night. So I would tell them stories about what happened last weekend and they would be enthralled. And eventually they're like, you got to write this stuff down. You have some crazy stuff that happens to you. And I was like, I think you're right. You know, I've always been a writing kind of guy, a short story writer. And so it was not completely foreign to me to sit down and jot some of these things down, but I realized there's a lot of great material here that people really get a kick out of.
That was one of my questions, is if you were taking notes all along, because it's hard to go back. If you haven't taken notes for a book like this, it's hard to go back and remember because they all become muddled after a while. So you were notes.
So, some of it, like there was just no way to forget it. It's just some of these things get seared into your brain.
Give me an example. Yeah.
Okay. All right. My number one injury that has happened since I met my amazing wife, I got knocked out by a baby, and like every detail of that day, except for the 10 seconds or so that I was unconscious, is seared into my brain. But we had a 5-month-old foal that belonged to, it's one of these 18-year-old horse trainers that's going to, you know, breed 50 horses and train them all and become a millionaire. And the reality is that you have a pen full of foals that have never been touched. So one of those managed to rip an eyelid off and we had to go sew that on. And We spent, of course, she's not even home. So we spent 15 minutes getting this thing cornered to where we could get a lead rope around its neck. So I'm holding the lead rope. Erica is amazing at standing on one foot and using one hand to stick a needle in a vein on the fly on a moving target. So she managed to get some sedation into this thing. It slows down, head drops. We're like, okay, she starts cleaning up the eye. And as soon as she starts doing that, it's backing up. It's going in circles. We're like, this thing is immune to sedation. So Erica goes back over the fence, back out to the truck to get more sedation. I'm holding the lead rope. This thing's running circles around me. I'm like, this is good. You know, it can tire itself out, run itself down. It stopped, turned around, went back the other way to go in circles the other direction. I'm like, okay, I got this. I got this. And then it stopped again and started to turn back around the other way. And all of a sudden, I'm like, I am about to puke my guts out. Where did this come from? And then I'm like, no, wait a minute. I'm about to poop. Like, how did I confuse that with puking? And then I realized, like, my eyes are closed, and I open my eyes. The foal is on the other end of the paddock, standing at the fence. And I'm like, the lead rope's on the ground, and my leg is on fire. And I'm like, oh, my God, this thing kicked me in the leg and knocked me out.
Jeez.
And I'm like, my femur's broken. Erica is going to be horrified that I lost the pony after all that effort.
Yeah, that's what she'd be mad about.
How did you drop that line? Yeah,
what's wrong with you? Over there.
I left for 1 minute.
So, give you one job.
Right? And I failed it. Oh, man. And she came back over and she was furious. And I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Like I can't even breathe. I'm screaming all this in my head, but out loud, it's just like, and so she drags me over to the fence. And she's like, I am going to kill that horse. I'm like, oh, she's mad at the horse. And then I was like, oh, like,
this is love.
Maybe I am the hero, or maybe she's the hero and I'm the damsel in distress, but whatever it was, I needed some help. But she is such a beast. I've finally managed to put some weight on my leg and determine that it wasn't broken. And she went over and caught the horse again. Knocked it out, sewed the eyelid back on while I clung to the fence and pretended like I was encouraging her from a distance. But and that really made me feel.
So it ran you over or kicked you or what?
It kicked me right in the quad. Ooh. And if it had been 2 inches lower, it would have took out my kneecap. If it had been 2 inches higher, it would have hit right on my brand new phone, which in retrospect,
I thought you were going to say your balls.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were going to say.
But no, the phone.
The phone was protecting those.
The phone. The phone. Yeah. But then I'm over there hanging on the fence thinking my leg's broken while she's, you know, one man army in this thing.
Sewing an eyeball
and I'm thinking
up.
About the time that, she told me about one of the times that she got kicked in the quad by a full grown horse, knocked her all the way across the stall. She got up, went back, finished doing the appointment, the vet gave it a dental, like the whole 9 yards, loaded up her stuff and drove herself to the hospital to see if her leg was broke. And I'm like, she is a badass. I got knocked out by a baby. Apparently, I am the weenie.
Oh, Justin, so, they're so much humbling. Tougher than us. They're so much. My wife broke her arm, drove herself to the hospital, got it fixed. When I came home from work, she was doing the stalls that night with a broken arm and a cast. Never even told me. Never compete? Called me. Yeah. Nothing. So they're much tougher than we are.
Okay, my turn. So I actually, I was so pregnant and my water broke. And I was like, Chad's like, get in the car. And I'm like, I have to feed. So, yeah, girls, get it done.
For sure. We had another one of our veterinarians that was 9 months pregnant. Like, she was 2 or 3 weeks out from foaling. And I had to be a technician for her because her tech was out sick one day. And we're out in the middle of a pasture. And this is doing a preg check on a mare. She is standing on a step stool so that she can reach in and palpate this thing with one leg up in the air, balancing the ultrasound machine on it. Palpating with the other arm, 9 months pregnant, and I'm just standing there holding the horse, feeling like an idiot. Like, it's impressive to be around, but it's also just very discouraging. I would never get that done.
So you have
kind of dumb.
You have 3 books out now. So the I didn't even know about the third one. That did that just come out?
No, it's been out a couple of years now, which I am constantly reminded by my most intense readers that it's time for another one. So this is the problem. It takes me 6 or 8 months to produce one of these, and it takes somebody that's committed about 4 or 5 hours to read it, and they're ready for the next one.
And have you been contacted about a movie yet? What was the British show that Jennifer always watched about the veterinarian and the countryside?
Dr. Pole.
All Creatures Great and Small.
Creatures Great and Small. That's right. So are you going to be doing the next series? You're going to be the American version of Creatures Great and Small?
I would love that. Absolutely love it. And I would like to shoot it myself. I just need like 3 more me's to get everything done.
Yeah, the money and people. That's what you need.
Yeah. But the vision is there.
So these books are called The Adventures of the Horse Doctor's Husband. You can find that they all have the same name. Then there's more Adventures of the Horse Doctor's Husband, and then Adventures of the Horse Doctor's Husband 3. So
they all
seem to still be available on Amazon.
Yeah, everything is available. Each one is a collection of short stories. So each chapter is a standalone story. So you don't have to commit. It's easier to close the book at night and go to bed when you get to the end of the chapter because it's the end of a story. But they're all real life things that happen around the vet clinic. Crazy, crazy adventures that come along with being married to a horse doctor.
Well, and I see you have audiobook here for all of them as well. Did you read them?
I read the first two, and I'm doing an experiment with letting AI read the third one. I'm trying to gather some listener feedback on that to see how that goes, because listening to myself read for 6 hours and editing out all of my wet mouth sounds and heavy breathing and I can't pronounce a word. And
Audible's
it turns out
picky that, about that. They're picky about the quality.
They are. But I get picky on my wording, too, because I realize when I read my stuff out loud that the sentence structure could be way better. And I'm like, no, let's fix this. I'm like, no, it's already published. I can't fix that.
You end up editing for the 10th time while you're reading the audio.
Right?
you have a great voice for reading the books, though. You really do.
I have been told that. I appreciate that people can appreciate that. I got tired of listening to it, but maybe other people are okay with it.
Well, Justin, it's always good to have you on the show. We appreciate you being here. Go check out his books. We'll also put them, as you guys know, we have a Horses in the Morning store on Amazon, and I have added the 3 books to our store, so you'll be able to check them out there as well. Justin, thanks so much. Please tell your lovely Erica that we said hello and that we need to get her back on sometime soon, too.
I'll do it. Can I promote one other book quick while I'm here?
Yeah.
Since we're talking about Christmas presents, Eric and I wrote a book together called How to Become an Equine Vet, which is a guide for teens.
Oh.
And because she's on the admissions committee for the vet school here at the University of Florida, and there's a whole lot of kids that would like to become horse doctors that are wildly unprepared when they get there and put in their application. And so we created a guidebook that lists out all of the stuff you need to start doing in high school and college to become a great candidate for vet school. And that is a great stocking stuffer for any young person in your life that is interested in becoming a veterinarian of any kind.
That's a terrific idea, and especially because we need so many vets now, right?
We do.
Yeah, that's a terrific idea. I'll add that to, I'll put a link to all of this in our show notes as well, so you can go over and find them. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. And don't forget, you have a podcast.
Thank you guys so much.
Give a quick plug for that.
It is Straight from the Horse Doctor's Mouth. We are the number 3 equine podcast, apparently, which I did not know. And that is great horse health information from a veterinarian for horse owners. So anybody with a horse will stand to gain a tremendous amount of knowledge and become a better horse owner and horse parent.
You know what we've been talking about for years, Jamie? Remember we talked years ago that I should go, because I am very squeamish about the whole vet thing, and you know, Jamie always handles the health stuff. And we've always joked about me going on a ride along with a horse vet for a day and seeing if I could survive.
Oh, you got to come spend a day with us.
I got to do that now. With the two of you, I definitely have to get that done. I think that'd be good content for the show. And then
I mean, somebody else has got to do something around here to carry the load, so... I'd appreciate it. Please take him.
That's right. You don't have to do any of the work. You just have to report on what's happening, like me.
We just found out that they're 20 minutes from us where we live. Their clinics. I never knew that. So I have no excuse.
Glenn,
now.
If if for some reason they ask you to hold the unhandled baby, don't do it.
Don't do it.
Just
run.
Walk away.
I mean, it's a 5-month-old horse. How bad could it hurt you?
I've been a horse husband for 30 years. I know the lines. I know the boundaries.
Well, I'm getting there.
Thanks, Justin.
Thank you, guys.
For first-time horse owners and new riders just starting out, finding the information and support you need can be challenging. That's why Equine Network has partnered with Sentinel Feed to bring you My New Horse, a place where equestrians just getting into horse ownership or riding will find the resources and community they need at precisely their stage of the equine journey. From important horsekeeping information and how-to videos to social media communities and more, My New Horse is your one-stop shop for riders of all levels and disciplines who are eager to find easy-to-understand horse care information and guidance. Start your horse ownership journey today. Visit mynewhorse.com.
He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader. Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. But tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if the talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is time for Really Bad Ads, that time of the week when listeners submit ads from Craigslist or Facebook. We have a little bit of fun with them. I want to apologize. I do not have prizes yet for this month, but everybody that's submitting will be added to the next batch of prizes. I am happy to report, though, I have about $2,000 worth of prizes for holiday week. So get your entries in for holiday week. Only one more week left to get your entries, your songs and poems in for holiday week. So we really need a bunch of them. Get to work, people. Yeah, this weekend. Get to work. And we're going to get started. Well, we have a bunch that we're not going to get to today. Let's see. Lucy, Patty, Michelle, Rachel, Janelle, Lori, Kayla, and Katie, thank you so much for sending in your ads, but we're just not going to have time today to get to them all. And we're going to start with Amanda.
All right. This is the cutest picture ever of a horse sticking its nose over the stall, and it's like a total nose shot. And this is the Maryland Horse Network page on Facebook. ISO a 12.2 to 13.3 HH Pharrell or just horrible pony. Honestly, will likely end up attending New Holland, but wanted to give here a go. Oh, they're going to attend New Holland. Yes. They're going to send the pony to New Holland. Flashy, athletic, but a menace to society is what I'm possibly looking for. If you have a pony that fits, show me what you have. Picture of my senior for attention. He was a horrible child-eating monster 26 years ago. He's pretty stinking cute now.
By the way, this guy, could somebody please inform this person to listen to our ads? Because we have one every week of this particular
I was going
to
say we're going to fill the void here in a second, I'm sure.
Heather sent this one in. This is in Springdale. Horses, $800. Short 5-year-old quarter horse. Okay, that's a first. M-A-I-R. Approximately 14 forehands. Not broke to ride, not super gentle. She's not mean, just scared of a lot.
So she's another Pharrell.
Yes.
5-year-old.
Yes. You want this one right here. This is perfect. Forehands. I never heard it said in forehands.
Mm-mm. The next one is a photo of two horses eating a square bale that has been set out in a field. And there is a red arrow. One's chestnut and one is bay.
Look,
and there's
that
a
Roman
red
at the one with the arrow. That's a nose.
Red arrow pointing to the bay horse. Perfect project horse. I think this is Craigslist. I see all the posts wanting a project horse. I've got the perfect one. See, call that lady from up above. Betty loves to be the boss at all times. In the stall, in the round pen, in the pasture. For the love of all things useful, she wants to be the boss when you groom her. Don't brush her the wrong way or you'll lose your kneecaps. I would consider her green broke and me just plain broke. Oh, did I mention she's been eating me out of house and home for the past 6 months? At a mere 15, too, I frankly don't know what she does with all that food. She has the metabolism of a gerbil. So if you want a true project in every way, stop by Frederick's Feed on any Tuesday afternoon. I'll be there restocking the feed room for Miss Betty.
We need to call Justin back and tell him we got one for him to hold.
Yeah, hold this one. It'll be fine.
You're fine. Sarah sent this one in. Oh, it's our trailer of the week. Ooh. It's $1,000 way over. Oh, this one's in McAllister, Oklahoma.
Of course it is.
The floor is in good shape. Needs some gathering up, but certainly has potential. Is that an Oklahoma euphemism for something, gathering up?
You gotta gather it up. I don't know. I've never heard that.
What are we gathering up? Needs some gathering up, but certainly has potential. Just have a look at it. $1,000. Okay, I'm having a look. I don't see a lot of potential. I really don't.
I mean, as far as gathering up, does that mean you have to cut down the trees that have grown into it? Because it's been sitting in this pasture for so long.
You're not going to get it out unless you cut some of these trees down.
And those trees were not there when they parked it.
No. By the way, can you see any wheels at all? It's just buried. It's just the thing is completely buried in the ground. This is way over our... And by the way, it's one of those heavy metal steel four-horse trailers. You're going to need a tank to pull it out.
Yep.
So
yep, that is
good luck
true.
With that. You should go get that one. It's right up the street.
Sure.
Yeah,
right
you
down
like
the street.
Saving things.
I need it.
Stephanie sent this one in, and it has a picture of what looks like silver bars. And it says, I have 600 grams of silver. Want to trade for a horse trailer?
Huh.
We can get the one above.
I know.
I looked up what 600 grams of silver was worth. Do you have a guess on that one?
$1,000.
$5,500. I'm thinking she might get a horse trailer for that.
Why don't you take the gold bars in and sell them and it will be easier?
I know, because who wants to trade their horse trailer for gold bars? That's very, or silver bars. That's very specific.
I mean, I'm not really in the silver trading business.
You're not making jewelry in your spare time? You're not melting it down?
No, I'm not melting it down. I'm not collecting it, nothing. Okay, who sent the next one in? Paige did. Okay, and this is the Facebook page, EM Equine. Sadie is looking for her forever home, most likely as a companion horse. I can't tell what that emoji is. I don't know. So many new emojis. She is sound for light trail riding, 16-ish years old, 15-2. She is a ghost paint with a little ghost emoji. Seems to be a maiden mare. Some sort of smiley face emoji. Sweet as pie and dumb as an old tree stump. With a tree emoji. Located in Folkston, Georgia. $1,000.
I was waiting for the button. There it was. Last sentence.
Sweet as pie, but dumb as a stump.
That sounds like something that somebody in Georgia would say.
I've never heard of a ghost paint horse.
Remember the other day we had somebody on? Oh, the one guest that was on said hers was a ghost paint.
Did we really?
Yeah. Yeah, I had never heard of it either till that day. Jennifer sent this one in. Jennifer G, that is. 8-month-old Belgian Appaloosa stud colt. Okay, it's cute. Just recently had halter installed. What do you do? Nail it on? So it's
what
all...
does that mean?
I think they just meant they put it on. So it's all new to him. You know you can't throw your kid on him. Please ask your husband, great aunt, or second cousin permission to purchase prior to messaging me. No pointless showings. Bring a trailer. Not looking to go back and forth. Priced as winter price at $650 firm. And that one's in New York. Cute little baby.
It's so cute.
It is cute. And now they've installed the halter. You're never getting it off.
I mean, it's nailed on.
Although we have bought some horses from the auction that had their halters installed, you know, and that was very sad.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we should advertise that.
By the way, AI says a ghost paint horse is a horse that has a paint coat pattern that has faded to a very light or near white color, often due to the graying gene.
Well, there you go. Okay. Learn something
now
today.
We know. See? Do, 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 do. Well, the more you know. We got the next one.
Alyssa sent this one in. It's for a 1980 Chevrolet van. Put it in your lawn and weird out your neighbors. If you know, you know. Okay, so describe the van.
So the van is on somebody's yard upside down, laying on its top. And they've got, I guess this was a Halloween display. And oh, it's the kids from Stranger Things. They're on bicycles. Oh. Like, not the kids, but they're like.
The girls, 11.
Potato sack kids. And yeah, they've even got 11 on the back of a bicycle. And there's like the three kids from Stranger Things. But again, they're not really kids because they're like Halloween displays.
Displays. I wonder if they come with the van. It doesn't say.
Well, the van is upside down and it's in the yard. Come and get it. Freak your neighbors out.
All right, you're the last one. Katie sent it in.
All right, Katie sent this one in. And this is a Facebook page, which is not shown, which usually means Jennifer doesn't want me to go get this horse. Meet Lockjaw. Lots of emojis. Lots of emojis today.
Yeah,
lock emojis. Emoji, and this one has key emojis. She got kicked in the jaw once and now her name is a punchline. It's cosmetic meets quirky, zero pain, zero drama, just a mare with built-in superhero aliases who still eats her hay like a champ. 9-year-old bay mare standing at 14.2. Lockjaw is a pocket-sized game horse-esque, safe for advanced beginners who want handy without getting launched. She's got a neat little neck rein, steers like a side-by-side, and has no interest in arguing about cardio.
That's the first one we've ever seen.
I love that.
Worded it like that.
Easy to get along with, easy to tack, easy to like. Loads and hauls good, steps off the trailer as one should. She's the kid who finishes the worksheet early and then decorates the margins. What? Point her at poles, flags, barrels, keyhole, whatever, and she's like, copy, got it, again. She's forward when you say go. Well, when you breathe, and she'll happily do laps while you narrate your barn drama like a podcast. If you want a tiny athlete with a sense of humor and a name that makes the vet techs giggle, Lockjaw is your girl. She's not trying to win the NFR tomorrow. She's trying to make your weekend a highlight reel.
This had to be written by AI.
It had to be.
She's kind of cute. I don't see anything wrong with her jaw from this picture, but it is from a distance.
So what she, but she can open her mouth is what they're saying.
Yeah, I guess they're saying she can eat.
Yeah,
she'd be
cool.
Dead. So she made it to 9. So
yeah,
there's a lot of read between the lines on this one, though. A lot of read between the lines.
She has no interest in arguing about cardio. Love it.
That needs to be a t-shirt. Write that Love down, it. Jamie. We'll add that to our list of t-shirts.
I have no interest in arguing about cardio.
Yours would say I have no interest in doing cardio.
No, I'm not going to argue about it or do it, so it's fine.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for sending them in. If you want to send in your ad, send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. We really appreciate you still playing this game with us after 15 years.
It's ridiculous.
Auditors, hang on. You're going to meet one of your fellow auditors right after we say goodbye. Have a terrific weekend, everybody. Be safe. Be warm.
All right. Spay, neuter, geld, everybody. Have a good one. Go Mazuma.
Good luck betting. Monday.